Chapter 33. Despite Marie's protests, Jackman insisted on driving. To her relief, he kept to the speed limit. Slowly, the adrenaline was starting to pump through his veins. As they approached the deserted area that had once been a meeting place for mountain bikers and kids on skateboards, the enormity of what they were doing started to hit home. Marie, I wanted to say... He struggled to find the words. I could never have asked for a better partner. And I found a boss that I'd walk to the ends of the earth for, so no regrets, Jackman.
You two are a right barrel of laughs,
said a muffled voice from the back of the Dacia estate.
The tears are blurring my night vision optics. Before you start writing your wills, have a little faith, will you? Remember who's with you.
Sorry, Bert. We're not belittling your prowess, Jackman said softly. But it had to be said. He was glad the super had arranged for Roberta Gleason to be their sniper. Not only was she a crack shot, but she was also lithe, wiry, and incredibly fit, which she might have to be. Before they left the station, he had made sure they had the right vehicle. If luck was on their side, they would get out of the car and walk away from it. Then, under cover of darkness, Bert would slip out undetected. However, if Ashcroft suspected a trick, he would lock the car. He could do that with no problem, because the boot lid on a Dacia operated with a key and was not on the central locking system. Bert would still be able to get out with ease. And finally, he had disconnected the interior lights. The last thing he wanted was Bert opening the door and a light coming on. He had done all he could, and now it was crunch time.
"Good luck, everybody," he whispered. "Let's get the bastard."
Jackman took a deep breath and turned into the waste ground. He needed to find a spot in heavy shadow to give Bert the best chance of a swift and undetectable exit from the vehicle.
"Over there, sir."
Marie pointed to where a single light glowed in the darkness. It was coming from the old storeroom that the Dossers used to sleep in. In the headlight beams, he made out a thick clump of wild elder shrubs growing close to a broken-down fence. He pulled up close to it and left the headlights on for a few moments. He opened his door, and Marie did the same. They paused, gathering themselves. Then Jackman whispered,
"Here we go,"
and slammed the door shut. He heard Marie do the same, and then a whispered voice said,
"Extraction complete."
Bert had used the darkness behind the headlights and made her move out of the vehicle, closing the door at the same time as Marie and slipping into the bushes.
"Lock the car."
The sound of Ashcroft's voice made him shudder, and then he steeled himself. He had been waiting so long for this moment. He pressed the button on the ignition key and heard the locks click.
"Good. Now walk towards the building, very slowly, and with your hands in the air."
Jackman couldn't quite place where the voice was coming from. It wasn't very far away. The last thing he wanted was to be in an enclosed space. That could be fatal for them both. Their guardian angel would have no clear line of fire, and they would be dead meat. Somehow, he would have to prevent them having to go inside. But as it was, he didn't need to.
"Stop there. You wearing wires?"
"No."
"Jackman, take off your jacket and your protective vest."
For a moment, Jackman hesitated, but in the end, he removed them, holding the vest up in one hand.
"Drop it. Then open your shirt."
Gritting his teeth against a retort, he let the jacket go and unbuttoned his shirt, exposing his chest.
"No wires. Satisfied?" "Want me to do the same?"
Marie called out.
"And more than happy to."
She stripped off the Kevlar vest, undid the top three buttons of her blouse and pulled them wide.
"No wires, Alistair Ashcroft."
"Enough. Do up your blouse now."
"Ooh, touchy."
"Shut up," Ashcroft growled.
"Sorry, I'm sure."
Jackman flashed her a warning glance. He admired her courage, but didn't want her taunts to trigger one of his personality swings.
Even so, he took the opportunity to try and locate where Ashcroft was standing. He desperately wanted to know what kind of gun was trained on him, and it was obvious that Ashcroft had set up a light source of some kind in the doorway of the storeroom, probably a battery-powered lantern. This allowed him to see them while he remained in darkness. I assume that there is a large force of armed policemen waiting up on the main road. I'm sure you didn't just decide to drop in on me unaccompanied, Ashcroft said, his tone even.
For the sake of Rachel and Esther Lorimer, that's exactly what we did, Ashcroft. There is no one with us, no one waiting at the gate, nor anyone ponting up the river for that matter. You said alone, so here we are.
He spread his hands and threw the car keys towards the sound of Ashcroft's voice.
Check the car if you like. You'll find it's not full of gun-toting coppers.
At least it isn't now. He thanked the Lord that Bert had decamped so quickly, and although there really were no cars at the gate, Ruth Crook had put Sultan in lockdown with roadblocks at every intersection.
Where are Rachel and Esther, Ashcroft?
Called out Marie. Their voices echoed in the deserted strip of land.
Good question.
Jackman wasn't certain, but he thought he had seen the slightest movement in the shadows slightly to the left of the storeroom. That was also the place the voice was coming from. He tried to recall what was there. A few trees, some bushes, and some piles of debris from another abandoned storeroom. Suddenly he was mighty glad that Bert had powerful night vision scopes on her gun.
Where are they?
Marie's voice was hard as nails.
Now, let me think.
Why don't you get out here and face us? We've come alone, unarmed and unprotected. You, on the other hand, hold all the cards, yet you still skulk in the shadows. Coward!
Marie seemed to have no fear at all.
Ashcroft, Jackman called out. She's right. Come out and face us like a man.
And have a police sniper take me out?
I don't think so. There's no fucking sniper. God, you saw us arrive. Look around you. No cars, no backup of any kind. Just us, Ashcroft.
Jackman told himself not to plead.
Forgive me if I don't trust you,
but you see there's a lot of cover here, and with a decent rifle even from a great distance, well, I should know, shouldn't I?
The hint of amusement in his voice made Jackman want to rush screaming at the shadows where the killer was concealed and throttle him with his bare hands. Instead, he said,
Then just tell us where those women are and let me ring it in so that someone can pick them up. Please, Ashcroft, at least keep that side of the bargain.
I don't recall any bargain, said Ashcroft quietly.
It had always been a possibility that he had already killed Rachel and Esther, but somehow Jackman had not believed it. Now he wasn't so certain. He looked across to Marie, but this time she remained silent. With a loud, exasperated sigh, Jackman said,
Okay, Alistair, have it your way. Get it over with, whatever you have planned, because this is going nowhere, is it? You must want to talk, or you wouldn't have set up such an elaborate trap for us. You'd have just picked us off in the street like those other poor innocents.
Now there was a definite movement. A dark figure stepped from the shadows. In a moment of incomprehension, Jackman thought it was Bert, showing herself for some reason. Then he realized that it was Ashcroft, in a black firearm officer's uniform, complete with helmet and handgun. Clothes that must have been taken from Larry Turner's house.
Innocence, you think?
Ashcroft sneered.
Yes, I do, Jackman replied. You've torn that family to shreds, and for what?
The answer is standing right in front of me. To get to you, of course.
And let's be honest, Jackman, Ezra Lorimer is no great loss. As for the family, well, he laughed, you didn't meet them, didn't you? Those kids should have been drowned at birth.
Is that right? Well, thanks for that.
Jackman and Marie spun around to see Paul Lorimer standing just a few feet from them.
How in hell's name? Marie gasped. Paul, get out of here!
But Paul was going nowhere. He stood full square, facing down Ashcroft.
Well, well,
If it isn't little Pauly, you're even more stupid than I thought. You've made a big mistake coming here, and after I'd so generously spared your life. I even paid you. Dear, dear, so few brains, you're positively dangerous.
Oh, I'm dangerous, all right, and you are evil, snarled Paul, and pulled a gun from his jeans waistband. For Ezra!
Before anyone could do or say anything, he had fired a shot at Ashcroft. The kid's aim had been true, but the shot had hit the body armour. The force of it sent Ashcroft staggering backwards, but that didn't prevent him firing his own weapon, and with a grunt, Paul fell to the ground. The next few seconds seemed to pass in a blur. Jackman heard Marie scream out, "Bastard!" and throw herself down beside the young man. Two shots rang out. He was pretty sure it was two. And finally, the most blood-curdling scream he could ever remember hearing. It echoed all over the waste ground and rose up into the night like the howl of some infernal hound. He spun around to see Roberta Gleason sprint past him towards Ashcroft, and two figures in dark clothes standing shoulder to shoulder a little behind and to his left. When he looked again, there was only one, and she was now running towards her fallen son.
Rachel?
Paul! My Paul!
He looked ahead to see Bert standing over the writhing figure of Ashcroft, her gun muzzle just a few inches from his head.
Sir, paramedics required.
I've already called them,
Marie shouted back, who was now cradling Paul in her arms.
For this boy, not that evil bastard, let him die.
First, Jackman went to Marie.
Is he still alive, but...
Rachel appeared at Marie's side, crooning to her son.
My brave, brave baby, don't you worry about anything. Ma's here, and she has you now, my beautiful boy.
Marie stared up at Jackman, tears welling up. Already the sirens could be heard in the distance.
I called them just before all this happened,
whispered Rachel Lorimer, her attention all on her son.
You are a hero, my Paul. I'm so proud of you. Mama,
he smiled up at her weakly.
I'm here, my darling, and I'll never let you go.
Jackman knew that her words were now falling on deaf ears. He had seen where the bullet had entered the lad's chest. Scarlet blood pumped across his white T-shirt, and in that moment, Jackman knew his nightmare would never return. Marie took his hand.
Leave them now, she said through her tears. We have someone else to pay attention to.
They marched across to where Alistair Ashcroft still writhed on the filthy ground, blood gushing from both his legs.
It just appeared in front of me, said Bert,
shakily, her weapon still trained on Ashcroft's head.
Just as I was going to take my shot.
I'd have killed them if I'd tried to get a shot away. It was them who shot him, sir. They kneecapped him.
Alistair Ashcroft's face was contorted in agony. He looked down at his legs.
You just killed a kid, Marie said.
Ashcroft drew back his lips in a sneer.
Good.
Bert, can you close your eyes for 2 seconds?
Marie turned to Jackman.
You did not see this.
She swung her leg back and launched a kick at one of Ashcroft's shattered knees. Another howl rose into the night and lingered there, mingling with the sound of approaching two-tones.
That's for Harvey. Now we're quits.
Marie Evans turned her back on the screaming man and walked away. Jackman looked at Bert and shrugged.
Long story. I'll tell you sometime. Just don't ask her who Harvey is, will you?